Blog Talk Radio.
Harlem Talk Radio brings you news and information at Stimulating Talk Radio on the Harlem community. We cover business, education, entertainment, health, politics, technology, finance, and lots more. Harlem Talk Radio brings you news and information at Stimulating Talk Radio on the Harlem community. We cover business, education, entertainment, health, politics, technology, finance, and lots more.
Welcome, family. This is Lygia, and this is HarlemTalkRadio.com. We always host the Harlem Roots and Beyond segment. It is Thursday, December 2009. I'm here with my co-host, Kamikaze. What's up, baby?
How are you? Hello, Harlem and the world.
All right. So tonight is our end-of-year segment. We're going to look at the year's news items and have a little discussion about it, have some fun with it. We are expecting Milton...
Did you hear the show still going, the intro?
No.
I heard the intro. Okay.
My producer's talking. Sorry, family. We are expecting Milton Alamadi. He's the founder and CEO of Black Star News. Brother Alamadi is going to join us. He's a regular feature on the Guild Noble powerhouse like it is. Brother Alamadi also is the creator and founder of something that's going to pop really hard in 2010, Harlem School of Journalism. So as 2009 nears a close, we at Harlem Roots and Beyond will look at the stories that made us think, made us angry, or made us proud. Waiting for Milton Alamadi to join us, and we're going to look at some of the top news stories of 2009. Is Milton ready to go?
Oh, no, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so call me.
First and number one story. Top of the charts from everywhere around the world.
Right.
A black president.
Come on.
In the United States of America, Mr. Obama.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama and his, you know, his what I would call meteoric rise to the top.
Glory.
You know?
His rise to glory.
Rise to
the media
top.
Definitely caters to him, but you can't really put your finger on what the specific reason is for. Well, it's because he's a black man, or it's because he's so well-spoken and talented with the way he do his thing. You know, it's hard to tell. but he definitely gets saturated with the media.
Yes, yes.
Every move he makes is like Obama and his family today. It's like they more than any other president, and that's relevant to any eye that's watching it right now.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Even down to the family dog, Bo. There was a picture of Bo in the paper the other day during the big snowstorm we had that moved across the East Coast, right?
Yeah. It's
so
in the Midwest now.
I thought, wow, the Obama dog even gets press, you
yeah.
know? But Barack Obama, so let's talk a little bit about, let's open up some things that he's done in his first year that's newsworthy.
Okay. Well, it ain't going to happen until his second year, but he pushed those 30,000 troops through, you know, 31,000.
Right.
I keep having to specify.
Specify, you know? So we got 31,000.
Yeah, he done that. He has Guantanamo Bay basically smashed up in the close.
Okay.
So that was one of his promises, you
yes.
know. But he's also taken what was Iraq and turned it into Afghanistan all over again. He did that, you know. I mean, you know, what else is he to do as an agenda?
Well, you know, so many pieces to the Obama pie. I really want Milton to come on in and...
So, yeah, what I was thinking, too, is that we could talk about, you know, some of the top of the news, community news, before we move on to, like, the review, and we can embark upon the event we went to Saturday.
Okay, great.
And
okay.
you can highlight some of the meaning of the event, the initiative, some of the things that you said.
Okay, so Nizer Saunders, who is our producer, is saying, you know what, we don't have to hold on to Obama too, you know, too much right now. We're going to wait for Milton to come on and share some of his views with us. We're going to look at
Milton's with us right now.
Okay,
gonna,
good.
Like, talk about for the next 10 seconds this Saturday event.
Okay, good. So we want to talk a little bit about the Someway event that happened this past Saturday, the 19th, I believe the date was, at the Harlem Children's Zone. You know, some way it stands for survivors of mothers with AIDS. And so Nizer and I went by and hung out with some families and got to know some beautiful people for a good cause. So, again, if you're interested in, you know, charity, you know, community charity and, you know, giving back, reach out to the Some Way Foundation. You can find them online, the Some Way Foundation.com, SOMWA Foundation.com. Find out more about what they're doing. Okay, so we are being joined now by Milton Alamadi. As I mentioned earlier, he's the founder and CEO of Black Star News. And, you know, I just want to welcome the brother. He's wonderful. How you doing, Milton?
Hey, hey. Good to have me on your show. Thanks again.
Oh, brother, anytime, anytime. So you're here with Makazi.
Yeah. How are you, Milton? It's good to,
hey.
Good to hear from you again.
Hey, my pleasure, all the time.
All right.
So, Milton, you know, as you know, this is the 2009 recap show. We wanted to bring you on as, you know, our specialist in the field. You know, you know, you could bring a little flavor to the pot that, you know, Kami and I don't have just yet. We're going to get there, though. We're going to get there.
I like the way you put the weight of the world on my shoulders. Well, thank you.
that's right, brother.
Well,
yeah, what a dramatic year, isn't it?
Yes, yes, a dramatic
yes,
year.
Yes, yes, yes. Where do we
just
start?
To start out, let's start with brother Barack Obama, President
mm-hmm.
Barack Obama.
Yes.
Open up with a comment, brother, about, you know, what you think about this amazing man.
Well, you know what? This is how I put it. We're going through tough challenges, but I am so grateful that he prevailed over McCain and Sarah Palin. Can you imagine if that pair had won? We would not be in a recession. We would be in a full-fledged depression right now.
Absolutely.
That's the way I see it. As bad as things seem to be, they could have been a lot, lot worse. I mean, the thing is, I think he's been so good in what he's done that people forget so quickly. About 12 months ago, we were talking about the possibility of nationalizing the banks. And these weren't even so-called radicals that were saying it. These were mainstream economists. You know, these were capitalists themselves saying, you know what? The system is failing us. Let the government take over the banks. That's how things were so bad. Now it's the flip side. The banks are making so much money that we are complaining about how come they're not giving out the loans, which is a very legitimate beef, by the way. But it just shows you what he's been able to accomplish. Obviously, there are big challenges. You saw how very acrimonious the health care reform debate unfolded. When we had the ugly town hall meetings, so-called town hall meetings, those were not town hall meetings. Those were ugly display by some of the most rabid racists that still don't want this country to change and move forward. They just use that as an excuse. And they
say what they want to say.
Absolutely. But the thing is, they got some elected officials so intimidated that the few Republicans that had been willing to work with Democrats for health care reform, they backed out so quickly. Even Olympia Snow from Maine, they all disappeared. And that's why they needed all the 60 votes just to get the Senate version through today. And now they're going to move into reconciliation where they bring the Senate version and the House version together, and hopefully we'll end up with a health care bill early in January or February next year.
You know, Milton, I'm glad you brought up the, you know, the nastiness of the town hall meetings. There was even an instance where someone showed up, you know, with a rifle strapped to his back, and I thought, you know, what sane person would even come within a room of a president doing something so disrespectful? And yet people, that sort of went over the heads of many people. It didn't get much press, but I just thought, how disrespectful, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm glad you brought that up because it shows us a couple of things. Because number one, no matter if we had a white president, right, no matter how much you disagreed with that president, there is no way would local police or Secret Service, at least local police, allow that kind of display to occur. There's no way. Try to even imagine that happening. Try to imagine black folks showing up with guns at a gathering like that of a president that disagreed with. Just think about that. That dynamics would just never happen, period.
I would also say that for someone to be able to sneak in the ball, that was also some disrespect. For somebody to be able to walk in that ball and wasn't on the roster and partied and shook his hand, got close to him, got close to his vice, that was disrespect too.
And beyond, I agree with you. It's even beyond disrespect. It's like a serious security breach because you know nowadays you can just shake somebody's hand and you could have some powder on your hand and that's it. That's all it takes.
Finish him off. Exactly.
That's all it takes. And then, for example, when you see on CNN sometimes they show these the white militias, they're training, right?
Yes.
They're dressed in the army fatigues and they're training. You know, we know what they're training. They don't say that. They say they're training to protect their liberty. We know what they're training for. But how come do you think they would allow, like, black folk to set up camps in forest somewhere and be training with automatic weapons and all that kind of stuff?
Never.
It just would not happen. They would raid it, and they would take them all down, and they would kill a lot of them and say they were plotting to overthrow the government of the United States, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what they would blame it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of our people, sometimes we get complacent. We start forgetting the kind of country we live in.
Mm.
So once in a while, we need to be reminded when we see those kind of things, like the town hall meeting and these folks training in the forest. So that we should be reminded to be alert and be aware. Things have changed, but things still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Things change still at the same time, the same.
Absolutely.
So I just want to let the audience know that we're here with Milton Alamadi. He's the founder and CEO of Black Star News here in New York City. You know, Brother Milton, you know, we've shared, just want to let the audience know that you put together a wonderful set of workshops called Guerrilla Journalism 101. I have to bring that out.
Thank
because
you.
Those of us who attended, you know, the workshops with you, we've learned just an awful lot about how to even look at these news stories that we're going to be talking about this evening.
Right.
How to look at them with a critical eye and how to, you know, sometimes take a step back off of so much oversaturation of material and analyze it. So I want to thank you, brother, for opening our eyes and teaching us the skills that we need to move this work that we're doing forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And as I said, you know, let's all share this idea, share the information. And when we start all over again with the next series, we hope as many more people as possible get involved. And that way we can actually build our own army of writers that are out there. We don't have to depend on the Daily News or the New York Post or the New York Times. You know, we can take control of our own journalism. And that's the whole purpose of this.
Black media. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, because a lot of black media don't get the kind of financial resources that go into white-owned establishment. We don't get a lot of those ads that we deserve, by the way. So, you know, what's the solution? The solution is to train ourselves so that we can be able to produce our own content. And that's the way that we can liberate media, liberate journalism, and take over control. Because it's always about spin. And we become so used to what they feed us that sometimes we're not alert. Like one of the stories that still bother me up today is that vendor that was shot by the cop in Times Square. Remember that incident a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the Daily News front page said, thug shot by cop. Now, my question is, how did they determine that he was a thug? Because he was a vendor? Because he was black? That's completely unacceptable. And then the version that they sold, that the cop had chased this young man, and then he turned around and started firing, but somehow there was no shots heard because his gun jammed, but the cop was alert enough to shoot him and kill him. I don't buy that story at all. I can't prove it, but my first suspicion is that whatever gun he ended up with was planted on that individual. Because I didn't read anywhere of a single eyewitness quoted having seen this individual pull out a gun and aim it at the cop. So I don't buy that story. And that's the kind of way we have to think when they feed us information. Always be critical.
I would just like to add to that, that as time has moved now to a
Disney
plaza, right, where you know, tourists can sit comfortably in the middle of Broadway,
right,
and it's always been a tourist destination, but now, it you know, Bloomberg has made this a space where people are just lounging around. So to spin the story that this brother was running rampant through Times Square with a MAC-10, which is what we were given, then it would make everyone sort of shaky and scared. And then you think about tourist dollars, and then you think about, you know, Bloomberg's aim to bring illegal guns off the street.
Because it all comes down to the money.
So it's just the way it's spun is you don't know which way to look. You don't know
right.
which way to turn. You know,
yeah, the way it was spun, was to justify his killing. Because, you know, normal people would read and say, oh, you know, this guy, quote unquote, this thug is pulling out a gun at a place where you have thousands and thousands of people just there trying to relax and have a good time. So obviously he's cast as a criminal now so that you don't feel that sorry that he's dead. But when this guy left his home that morning, what was he trying to accomplish? He was trying to get a few dollars so he could put some food on the table.
On the table, exactly.
That's why he left his home. Like everybody else, like the ones that work on Wall Street and get paid the millions of dollars, these crooks that destroyed the economy. This guy just wanted to make, what, $5, $10, $15, $20, $30 maybe, and make it home alive that evening, and he ended up dead. And yet he's cast like he was a criminal that went out there with a weapon. Do you think a vendor really would take the time to go out there and try to sell something? If he had a gun, why didn't he just go and use the gun to get whatever he wanted?
If he's a
try
thug.
To picture that. See? But we don't think that way, but that's how we should think. Think logically. You know, if a guy who has the propensity to pull out a gun and fire a cop, right, why would he be wasting his time there trying to sell something for $10, $15, $20?
$5.
$5, right. Why wouldn't he wait at night and then, you know, just use that gun to do whatever he needed to do? So that's how I want the people that come to the guerrilla journalism class, that's how I want their mindset to be. To think critically.
Guerrilla journalism. For
exactly.
Real, yeah.
Don't just absorb that garbage that they feed us.
I wanted to take the time We have so many news items that we wanted to cover this evening.
Okay. You know, just walk me through a few of them, and I can share my views on whatever topic that you want us to walk through.
I would like that. But with Obama, let me just run down some things that we probably won't be able to touch, but just want people to think about just the breadth and just hugeness of our president's work this year. We talked about the healthcare debate.
Right.
We didn't get a chance to speak about Sister Sonia Sotomayor, which I think was an amazing pick for the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court, yeah.
The troop surge in Afghanistan.
Hey, you can cut our salary by $10,000. Have you heard of anything like that before?
No,
that's how bad things are. Now, in terms of the banks, they got the billions of dollars, and now they're making profits. They need to lend. They need to lend money, including to black-owned businesses. And I'm still thinking of how to get involved in instigating some campaigns to put a lot of pressure on these banks so that they pump millions of dollars in places like Harlem, Bed-Stuy, and our communities all over the country. That's what we got to do. In terms of Afghanistan, that's an unfortunate situation that he inherited from the Bush administration. And, you know, there's a concern that if he just pulls out too quickly, I mean, after all, the 9/11 attack was indeed planned from Afghanistan.
Yes.
So he fears that if he pulls out so quickly and there is another attack, obviously it's going to be blamed on him and the Democrats, and they would pay the price politically. So I think that's why he thinks he needs to build up the troop level, and then if things settle down a little there, then you'll be able to pull them out. But that's a very unpredictable place. It could still get worse, and it could end up causing him politically in the future. There is that risk.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
Talk Radio brings you news and information at Stimulating Talk Radio on the Harlem community. We cover business, education, entertainment, health, politics, technology, finance, and lots more.
Good evening, family. This is HarlemTalkRadio.com. My name is Lygia, and I'm the host of Harlem Roots and Beyond, the segment for Thursday, December 31st, 2009. I'm waiting for my co-host Kamikaze to join us. He's on his way to the studio, but I am here with our founder and producer, Nigel Saunders. Welcome to the show. As we sit here, we're looking at New Year's Eve 2009. Harlem Talk Radio, we launched this year, so I'd like to just put out there that we launched in May, correct, sir? And we've been doing a lot. We've done some great celebrity interviews. We've done some red carpet events. We've attended charity and political functions to get the work of charity and politics to the community. We've had some great in-house interviews with some self-help gurus. We've gotten medical advice. We've spoken with activists and educators. So we've done an awful lot in 2009. I would like to also add that Harlem Roots and Beyond, we are the community affairs segment. What we try to do every week, Thursday, 8 p.m., is have discussions. We look at local news and cultural happenings, and we also look at national and world news. So this is really what we try to do is roundtable what's happening in the community and beyond and have discussions. And we would love it if you joined us. We would like to know what's happening on your block, in your hood, in your home, if you want to share some things with us. We're at 347-838-9934. Again, my name is Lygia, and I'm here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, I'd like to give some special thanks to the guests that joined us this year. First, allow me to give a special thank you to J.L. Rainey, the motivational coach and author of Bliss Speaks. She joined us this year. I'd like to give some love to Milton Alamadi, the CEO and publisher of Black Star News. I'd like to give love to Terry Williams. She's the founder and president of the Terry Williams Agency, which is a publicist. She's a publicist, works out of Hollywood. And she's an author, correct?
And motivational
speaker, right? So the people that we're going to be talking about have done multiple things. Kamikaze just walking in. How you doing, Kami? What's up, baby?
How are you?
All right. So I'd like to give special thanks to Brian Smith. He's the educator and founder of What's Left Out, Incorporated. Kevin Thorburn joined us as well. He's the author of Harlem Sun. Check out his book. It should be in bookstores and with vendors in the hood. Cindy Senya Ba, the founder and CEO of Determined to Educate Incorporated, dropped by to say hello to us. And Janice O'Neill, the CEO and founder of Sensational Body, joined us. So we've had some wonderful guests this year. We anticipate 2010 to be exciting and educative. We're going to be bringing it live and direct to you. And our mission at Harlem Roots and Beyond is to enliven, entertain, encourage, and educate. So, fellas, Kwanzaa, we're in our Kwanzaa time of year. And today, interestingly, is Kuumba. And Kuumba is creativity. And what that means to us at Harlem Talk Radio and to our community is using our creative energies to build and maintain a strong and vibrant community. All right, family? So today's Kwanzaa principle is Kuumba, and that is creativity. So, Kami, come on in.
Ma'am.
Say hi to the family. What's going on with you today?
Hello, Harlem in the world. Well, I'm just trying to get straight right now. You know I just bust through the door. But all in all, everything is fine entering the first decade of the new millennium.
Right.
You know.
2010.
2010
so.
It is.
Okay. So let's look at the biggest, probably, Harlem news story of the past week is the death of Percy Sutton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The legend.
Yes.
Legend,
icon. Harlem
yes.
icon. Business owner. He died this past weekend at the
Apollo
age
Savior.
89. Yes. Bring it. Apollo Savior. What else did he do? Let's talk about Mr. Sutton. What else has he done? Come. So much.
He stayed black.
He stayed black.
He stayed black.
Okay.
That's what he done most of all. Through all his trials and his tribulations and his accomplishments in politics, he stayed black. And that's what he's mostly respected for, to make it simple and flat.
Okay. For those who don't know Mr. Percy Sutton and his accomplishments, there are some noted here. He served as Manhattan Borough President from 1966 to 1977.
Five terms.
Okay. He is known as one of the famed Harlem Circle of Four. Now, we can open this up for discussion for those who don't know what the Harlem Circle of Four is. Let's talk a little bit about that.
It was the crew.
David Dinkins.
Yeah, Rangel.
Charles Rangel.
Yes.
Basil Patterson and Percy Sutton made the Harlem Circle of Four. that Circle of Four was Harlem politics
Harlem.
At its finest.
Harlem.
They covered quite a range of work in the community, from politics to entrepreneurial work.
Quite some accomplishments between the four of them.
Yes.
Accomplishments, rather. Pardon.
Okay. So we have David Dinkins, who became our first African American mayor.
Yes. He's still the mayor.
He's still the mayor. He's still your mayor, brother.
He's still the mayor.
Okay. We have the illustrious Charles Rangel, who has served over 40 years in Congress.
He's still doing it.
Doing it big, right?
Yeah.
He's the Ways and Means Chair, which for some people, that is one of the most powerful positions in Washington.
He got a lot of years in the game, too.
A lot of years in the game. So the Circle of Four, Mr. Sutton was a part of. He purchased Inner City Broadcasting in 1972.
Yeah.
Which owned WLIB.
WBLS, too, right?
Right,
yes.
Right at that time, right?
Yes.
And as you mentioned earlier, brother, he saved the Apollo Theater,
yes.
which was going under years ago. You wouldn't know that now from from how it looks.
Yeah.
But back in the day, the Apollo was struggling a little bit, and Percy Sutton helped to save that. He was a Tuskegee Airman. A lot of people didn't know that. And he was a civil rights attorney.
Yes.
Okay, once defending Brother Malcolm X and the boxer Sugar Ray Robinson. So the loss of Percy Sutton has hit Harlem big. And those of us who, 89 years, he lived a long life. His accomplishments were great. So rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Kristen.
Okay.
No doubt about that.
Another Harlem News story, which wasn't
here at Harlem Talk Radio, we are correspondents and journalists, so we can look into the contributions of Percy Sutton. So let's make it put it on our agenda for early 2010 to do our due diligence in contacting his partners, associates, and family members. Let's present his story to the people.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
He's worthy of.
Definitely, definitely. As we move along, again, this is HarlemTalkRadio.com. This is the Harlem Roots and Beyond segment. We are here every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. I'm sitting along with my co-host Kamikaze, and we look at news stories and we try to break them down and have fun and, you know, analyze as best we can. We would love your input, so if you want to shoot us an email, shoot it to Lygia.P@HarlemTalkRadio.com. That's Lygia.P@HarlemTalkRadio, that's one word, .com. Okay, so let's do this, guys, right? So huge, huge national news story we have to talk about was the attempted bombing on Flight 253 heading to Detroit. So you want to start this conversation off, Kami, or you want me to start it off?
You start it off.
Okay.
Let's.
So, 23-year-old, and let me get the name right, Umar Farouk Abdul Muttalab. I know I'm mispronouncing it, so forgive me. 23 years old, out of Nigeria. What's interesting, here's some factoids about this young brother, very young brother.
Yeah, 23.
Okay, so his father, he comes from a very prominent and wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
Father was a banker.
Mm.
And some things that have been really hitting the news pretty hard was his loner status.
Yes.
Didn't have any friends.
Yes.
He was an isolated kind of person. He wrote several emails and, you know, different kinds of communication that he didn't have friends and he felt alone in the world, right? It was also reported that his father even knew that, you know, his son was troubled.
Yeah, he gave a warning to the people and they didn't heed it.
Right.
About his Islamic beliefs and actions, and nobody paid him any mind. And, right, you know, so forth, always. But see, the thing that gets me is it's always after the fact. Now, if you want my honest opinion.
Let's talk honestly.
Okay. It was a false flag operation. It was the means to put those scanners in the airports where they can pierce your clothing when you walk through them. That's what it's all about, raising the so-called security levels. How does he get on a plane with any kind of a bombing device in his underwear heading for the United States?
One way ticket.
No
luggage.
But see, then you got to check the characteristics. A loner, you know. Father warned of. Come on. See what we caught up in is that media hype. They put that in our face and say, yo, this is what happened. But we ain't looking at what they bringing behind it.
Well, we know what they're bringing behind it because these scanners are going to start happening.
They're happening already.
Well, two things that struck me as...
Well, they happened a long time ago. We have them in our high schools in New York City.
Right. Well, several airports have these scanners that you're talking about.
Right.
Some airports don't have it because I think they're very expensive
right.
to operate.
Some high schools do have them. Some don't.
Right. Right. So,
detectors in every school. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well,
let me just interject one thing. The makeup... In the psychological makeup of the so-called bomber.
Right.
If you look at the makeup of the so-called trench coat guys who go
yes.
around and spraying or killing
yes.
everybody.
Yes.
Oh, the Columbine
yes.
bunch.
You know,
yeah.
So let's compare these, like, you know,
characteristics
Jackson,
exactly.
Mid-American, you know,
got little papers, all right.
High school students.
Yeah.
You know,
same, but you,
same
profile.
Right?
And everybody
loners.
Got a little paper. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody family busted. Everybody got a little paper. You know what I mean? Nobody family broke.
Right.
Because it's never about money at that that level, right?
Yeah.
Because, interestingly, with the Columbine killers and this brother, and I will add Major Nadal Malik Hassan, who's the Fort Hood gunman, same profile.
Yeah.
Very isolated.
Loners.
Strong Islamic beliefs.
Yeah.
No girlfriend to speak of. They wanted to have companionship, but they didn't feel that they could move, you know, within Islam in
the
that
characteristics
way.
Are always the same. They're always the same.
But I'm glad, Nizer, you brought that about, you know, the Columbine shooters, because it's the same thing. We're dealing with people
right.
who are socially inept. They don't have friends.
But educated.
Yeah.
But educated, as far as the system is concerned.
Right, right. But that's how they were able to get by. And that's a good point. You know, once someone is, you know, either wealthy or middle class, they're off the radar. Once they're educated, they're off the radar. So what is the idea then? That you have to be broke, strung out on drugs, and crazy to commit a national terrorist act? No.
No.
Because
not
people
at all.
Would be looking at you and I walking around with locks. You have
a
beard.
Yeah.
Right?
Automatic.
Slouch jeans.
Automatic red flag.
Right.
Automatic red flag.
Okay. So, and I know many of our listeners have thought about the same things. We're not talking about anything that hasn't crossed the mind of many people. But it's just an interesting news story. So let's go back to how our airports are going
to
be switching up.
Yeah, to the scanner.
Security. So two things that struck me odd, Kami. One was they wanted to say that you couldn't get out of your seat for the last hour of a flight.
Wow. So
to use the bathroom, stretch.
So what if you have to use the bathroom? That, you know, I mean, how far is he going to go?
It's ridiculous. So what are they going to give us, diapers?
Listen, potties in front with curtains around your waistline? What's next? You understand what I'm saying? Yo, it's so tricky, but... That's my opinion of that whole. It just looks like a staged operation to me. It just looked like he has an explosive device in his underwear. He was in the bathroom for 20 minutes. He probably took it out the top of the ceiling in the plane already.
That's
it was
the other
there.
Thing. The overhead.
Yeah.
The overhead. Compartments. They're saying they don't want you to go into those. Now look at this. The last hour of the flight.
Uh-huh.
So if you had any kind of explosive device. You can get it before the last
hour
of the flight.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous to me.
The whole thing is the scanners. That's what they want to bring forth. You know, like they use the towers to bring the Patriot Act. Basically, what they're doing, slowly but surely, you got to watch it, and we're going to politic on this deeper. They are stripping the Constitution to shreds.
Yes.
Because it has to be eliminated because there's a lot of other plans in effect that the Constitution is in the way of, and this is just known fact. You understand what I'm saying? They're stripping it. They're stripping it the same way Hitler did.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things in the United States that we hold dear, and people always talk about liberty and freedom. And if those two things are taken from us,
there's no freedom and there's no liberty. Land of the free, home of the brave. That's over. Forget about it. You see what's going on. You can't walk a four-block radius without winding up on some camera somewhere. And that's just utterly ridiculous. There's no way that cameras are supposed to stop crime? Is this the theory behind that? No, this is a total invasion of privacy.
Well, you
total.
Know what? I love that. I'm glad you brought that to light, brother, because the ACLU, actually I saw it online sometime earlier this year. They did... I love this term, a profiling of all of the cameras that are on the streets, public cameras. And there are so many in the city. Now, we know that they don't deter crime because if people are going to do what they're going to do, it's going to go down,
yes.
right? But the idea is to psychologically
warp
us so
exactly.
that we're so worried.
The fear. Invoke the fear. Just like the fear with the word terror. You know, I'm looking at all the front pages. Christmas terror attack. What? Come on with the foolishness, man. Come on. One man had, and then he had military made explosives. Wasn't he dealing with C4? That's what I deal with. What's going on?
Well,
he flying in on us with our own thing.
All right, brother.
The whole situation is tricky, man. The whole situation is tricky, and it's just, you know, and I could be wrong as two left shoes, but it just looks like a false flag operation to me.
Well, this also gives the U.S. the opportunity now to start looking at Yemen with cross eyes, right? Because now the Islamic states they're already under siege. Let's be honest and real with it. They're already under siege, but
we are strategically positioned in the Middle East right now.
Yes, yes, but we don't have the, let's put it the way it should be said, we don't have the manpower, and we don't have the economic
to cover it.
Right,
the
economic
not the ground that we want to take.
We don't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
especially with Pakistan becoming involved. It just gets trickier and trickier. Just watch the dominoes fall. It's like obvious. It's obvious to the naked eyes. It's as simple as common sense. But the media is so swift with swaying thoughts.
The average person doesn't look at it that way. The average person is an American just trying to get to work every day, trying to take care of their families. They don't have, and I don't want to say they don't have the comprehension or they don't have the skill. It's just that the average person just wants to live. So once we start, you know, in our line of work, we have to look at it and break it down. But the average person is not trying to, because imagine you dealing with that kind of fear every day. If you really walk these streets as a black man, fearful, you wouldn't even come outside. So it's a trick that's really warping our common sense, and it's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
So this is Harlem Talk Radio. This is the Harlem Roots and Beyond segment.
We almost forgot about the people, huh?
Never forget our people, right? We would love to hear from you. Send us emails about what you think about our content. If you are interested in, you know, just checking us out and shooting us, maybe you're doing the same thing we're doing. You know, you're kicking back
just
in the living room with your friends and talking about news and what's popping. So holla at us. My name is Lygia. I'm with Kamikaze.
Yes.
And we're sitting here with our producer, Nizer. Okay. On another note, let's look at some local news. Now, our mayor, our billionaire mayor, Michael Bloomberg, is set to give his campaign staff 20% bonuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently he does this after every
election
win.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
You
have some stats in front of you, Tommy?
Huh?
You have some stats you want to kick about our mayor and what he gives off? Let's see here.
I got some stats.
Run a stat to us.
I got some stats how he went from being a single-digit billionaire to a double-digit billionaire in his 8 years in office.
Okay.
Those are some stats for you.
That's the real stat.
Yeah.
But based on the 20% bonuses, so we know that Mayor Bloomberg spent $102 million in this most recent campaign run, and according to the New York Daily News, he shelled out $850 million in bonuses in 2001's win and $1.55 million in 2005's win. So he can afford it. According to people on the news, I think I was watching New York One the other day, you know, his staff loves him.
You know,
he treats his staff very well.
Yeah.
So he's not one of those, you know, rich guys that's tight. Apparently he gets off of a little bit of green. So the rest of the city is broke, but he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing well. He's doing quite well. The city is broke, but we got two new stadiums and a third one coming. But we broke. We twisted.
Oh.
You know, it's you know, I mean, tell me something real, man.
I don't know. Developers are doing very, very well under the Bloomberg administration. Now, this is what I'd like to ask. If there's money for stadiums, and mind you, it's not all private money that went into those stadiums. A lot of public money went into Yankee Stadium, right? And it's going to be going up for the Nets Stadium.
And City Stadium.
We can't find money for permanent housing for families because our shelter system is overrun with families. We can't find the money for that.
The people are not important. And it's just so obvious. I don't know how people don't recognize. The people are not important. It don't matter. It's all about monetary gain. for the power. Without money, there's no power. I don't care what nobody say. Even in the medieval days, the kings had all the gold and the riches and the treasures. You understand? Without that kind of stuff, there's no power. Basically, what we call worldly possessions, there's no power. But the people mean nothing, man.
Yeah, but in a democracy, people are powerful.
A who?
Okay. Interestingly, you know, sometimes when you have consciousness about what's going on around you, it really doesn't anger you, but you really see things clearly.
Yeah, the
and
truth
people
just
can't
gets
give
so
you
much
the okie
clearer. The more you see, the truth just gets so clearer.
It's true. It's true. So in light of that, we had Milton Alamadi on last week. He created something called the Harlem School of Journalism, and we are actually the Harlem Talk Radio family attended quite a few of the workshops. We learned a lot, but we are asking you guys to reach out to Milton to find out more about the Harlem School of Journalism. It will teach you so much, from the basics to how to read a newspaper, you know, how to read an article, and not only read it with such a critical eye that you don't, you know, you don't enjoy the article or what's in front of you, but if it's a story that, you know, has some hot content, that you'll look at it and you'll analyze it, because a lot happens in our community.
Yes,
and
all the time.
We read it and we just, oh yeah, those are the bad guys.
Yeah, we read it from a point of view of the bad guys.
Right, right. You know,
nobody could tell our story better than us.
That's true. That's true. So, Harlem School of Journalism, free courses in journalism basics. Reach out to Milton at Milton, MILTON, at blackstarnews1word.com. Again, Harlem School of Journalism offering free courses in what he's calling Guerrilla Journalism 101. Reach out to Milton at blackstarnews.com. Okay, so dig it, right? So right down the block from us, we know that we have two parks, right? We have the park that's right on 7th between 116th and 117th Street,
mm-hmm.
and that is our, I should know the name of that park, shouldn't I? I should know the name of that park.
Dewey Square, isn't it?
We call it Dewey Square.
Oh, okay.
But it, okay.
Oh, that's just
It'll come to me. But anyway, there are two parks very close to us. One on 7th between 116th and 117th, and one on 7th between 115th
and 116th.
Right.
Well, almost. It ain't even just half the block, basically.
Right.
The
so
yield
dig
to
this.
The intersection.
Dig this. So on Monday, the 4th of January, which is this coming Monday, at 6 o'clock at the 115th Street Branch Library,
uh-huh.
the Harlem CDC and Community Board 10 are going to have some community discussions on those two parks. And what they want to do is make them into green community spaces.
Oh, so they want to stop all the people from hanging out in the parks and doing what they do all day. It gets controversial. The reality is always in the light. You can't never hide the reality.
Well, it's going to remain a public space. It's going to remain a park.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are there now
mm-hmm.
probably won't be there once it's turned into what they want it to be.
I understand. But you got to recognize it for what it really is. You know.
Quote from
okay.
a Community Board 10 member, Danny Tyson. She says, "The existing parks are small, underutilized, but centrally located at the intersection of busy shopping areas. By expanding them and providing new programming for residents and visitors, we can fulfill Community Board 10's goal of greening Central Harlem and improving the quality of life for Harlem residents."
All right.
Want to talk a little bit about that?
I just want to keep it real. You know me, Lidge. I just want it to be clear as light.
Come on.
Me and you in this hood. We lived in this hood all our life.
Yes.
We talking 20, 30. 20 years.
Right. Right. Right.
We know what them parks is. Right. We know who be in those parks.
Right.
So we know exactly what he's wording to sound like something extravagant for the neighborhood, is, yo, it's time to get them bums about the park and get that little drug pitching about the square and flip it to something where the newcomers can be happy.
Right. Basically.
And that's just the bottom line. I'm a bottom line factor type of cat. I don't really like the foreplay. I'm a bottom line factor type of cat. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. That's clear as day what it is. I mean, it's for the good or the better, but in whose opinion?
Right. Right. Well, the idea that as someone, well, we both drive. Now, let's look at another factor. We both drive. So we have at the park on 116th to 117th, roughly maybe 12 parking spaces. Let's say roughly 12, right, in the cut. And
yeah.
Then on 7th, you got two.
But then you, yeah.
And then the other park on 115th, you have maybe 8 to 10 slots. Eight,
and
maybe.
Three on the other. No, yeah, but all together about nine.
About eight, about nine.
About six on the vertical.
Right.
And on the other side, about three. Yeah.
Okay.
About
right.
Nine.
So let's say total, we're looking at 17
in fact,
parking spaces.
No, we're looking at more than 17 because I've counted the ones down the block.
Okay.
I think it is. I think the ones down the block is 17 parking spaces.
Okay.
Alone by Dooley Square.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So if they expand that park.
Mm-hmm.
Make it more pedestrian oriented.
Yes, yes, like the mayor did with Herald Square.
Right, right. What's going to happen is there's going to be a loss of parking spaces.
Yeah.
The idea with greening too is to, you know, make the air cleaner. And look, I'm all for that. Let's not, you know, play semantics. We want clean air. We want nice parks. We want nice things. But to what degree? So we're going to give up. First of all, it's hard to get parking now.
Yeah, yes it is, especially around here.
Okay, so if you remove
congested.
17 from one side
and 9 from the other,
that's a lot of parking.
Yeah.
So now you're going to create more of a problem. See, people are thinking about the short term. It looks pretty. It's green. It's nice. But when people start getting angry that they're circling around the neighborhood looking
yeah.
for parking, it's going to be trouble. So I'm going
to
go to the meeting on Monday.
You might not even be able to drive down that block.
What if they close it? That's true.
They might extend it back all the way to the project in 131,
we
121.
We don't know what they'll do.
Yeah.
So this coming Monday, January 4th, at the 115th Street Branch
so
Library.
So is it in effect already, or they're just proposing it?
This is the proposal.
Okay.
This is the meeting for the community to come out and speak out on it.
Okay.
All right? So, again, Monday, January 4th, 6 p.m. at the 115th Street Branch Library. That's between 7th
and
8th.
Avenue Frederick Douglass. And Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard.
Right on. All right. Now, another quote from Thomas Lunke, who is the Harlem CDC Director of Planning. He says, regarding these parks, our goal is to engage the Harlem community in a discussion of how to improve our lives as pedestrians in this era of green awareness. Harlem has the highest rates of asthma in the nation. By exchanging underutilized streets for expanded park space, greening the physical environment will improve local air quality and give respite to Harlem's increasing residential population. Now, I have difficulty with this last line. Harlem's increasing residential population. Harlem has always had a large residential population.
Okay. How about that? But it's, you know, it's convenient
right.
to move it across the bridge right now.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what HCDC is, it's the Harlem Community Development Corporation. Okay. So these are the people that want to.
Green the parks.
Green, right. Okay. Now, we are, as Central Harlem residents, surrounded by parks, large parks. We have
yes.
Central Park.
Yes. Morningside Park.
Morningside Park.
Marcus Garvey Park. Okay.
St. Nicholas Park.
Yes. Yes.
So we have large
park
clusters
area.
Of park space.
Yes.
So to now say that these smaller areas should now be areas
expanded.
With Okay.
It's as simple as I can't make it no simpler. It's time to get them up out of here. This don't look good. They still hanging out here every day. They drinking over here, all types of everything going on. And I mean, like I said, it's good. It has its good to it, but in whose opinion? You understand what I'm saying? In whose opinion? Because, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong, but who's to say what's right and wrong?
Yeah. Well, if the idea is to make it, quote-unquote, greener, or which can translate into family-oriented, I know what that means. Because we have families here already.
They take and put a sliding board anywhere in the area, that means you can't sit there unless you got your kids with you. I mean, what happened to, I used to go to the park, watch the children play.
Nah.
Everybody's not trying to get little Susie in the corner to fill her private spot. Come on.
Right.
A lot of this is mockery or nonsense, man. A lot of it.
You know, I was just mentioning to a friend of mine the other evening that, you know, one of my joys is to, in the summer, you know, get my book or my newspaper, get a nice cup of coffee, go out early, and go sit in the children's area of the playground. I love hearing children play.
I love to watch them play.
I love,
you understand what I'm saying?
It's a beautiful thing. And I mentioned to her that I was asked to leave that area. This happened like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I went, and I guess I was being observed by park personnel, and they asked me, was I there with a child? I told them no. And he says, well, you know that you can't sit here. You can sit on the outside of the park, but it's on the books.
Yeah, it's on
unless
the books, for sure.
Unless you have a child, you can't sit in the playground area. So I didn't make a big deal out of it, but I, you know, fine, I'll leave. But I just felt like I would prefer them asking me to leave as a protective measure just in case, but
yeah.
It just felt a little bad, you know, like.
Because it just wasn't right.
Come on.
Keep it real with your heart. It wasn't right, like.
Come on.
I'm just here to watch the children play.
You know? Yeah. And if, you know, used to be a time, let's talk about the good old days. It's the world we live in. It used to be a time where you go to a playground, you could sit there and, you know, family's picnicking and they see you by yourself. They'll ask you, would you like a piece of whatever they had or would you like a cold drink? Or
yes.
Could you watch my child while I use the restroom? Could you, you know, we're in
a
time
now. It's
a
new world. It's a new world. But at the same time, Some of these things are still extreme. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree.
Because regardless to whatever, if you're at the playground with your children, you're supposed to be an observant parent. You're not there to talk with Betty about where her and her boyfriend on the side of her husband slid off to and take your eyes off the kids for 20 minutes because you're hearing about their escapade. If you're at the park with your children, you're watching your children. So there's no way that cat over there on the bench could come creep and do anything with your child because you're watching your child.
And you certainly wouldn't send a 6-year-old into a public bathroom by themselves.
By themselves.
So it's just, you know, things, but dig this, brother. You know, we have younger parents who don't really
understand
it. They don't understand it. That you do have to get off your cell phone.
Yes.
You have to stop texting.
Yes.
To be observant.
Yes.
You know, so it's things like that we have to understand. And sometimes laws are created to protect fools.
Yeah, but
now,
at the same time, regardless of fools or whatever, they're parents, man.
Yeah.
If anything, if a parent doesn't have anything else, they have that automatic natural protection.
Yes. Well, I would think so. Okay, this is Harlem Roots and Beyond. We're here. It is New Year's Eve, 2009. We're looking at 2010, brothers.
Yes, the first decade of the new millennium.
Okay, so plans for tonight? Anything going on that you guys want to share? Or is it going to be a quiet evening home?
I'm trying to get in the house and just settle. I usually sleep it in, to be honest, but I just want to be sitting up chilling tonight. But I want to be in my house as usual.
Okay. Neither?
Let's you know, talk about how we're going to take this new year on and do some great things and
accomplishments.
Yeah.
Yes. And watch some trees grow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blossom
yes.
into some big things.
You know, one of the things we're going to work on is the Black Media Summit. coming.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a very important campaign to implement, watch it grow, watch the effectiveness, the greatness. We're going to be working with other media organizations.
Yes.
We're going to, like, pull media organizations from across the nation.
Huh.
You know, we're going to invite organizations like Rolling Out Magazine. Munson Steed is the publisher. I think the work he's doing is very great and dynamic. Simple fact that his small, what you think is a small publication, actually a big publication because he reaches a lot of cities in his distribution stream. That makes it really big.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like that little magazine you see in the supermarkets or the bodegas in New York City. So imagine that being duplicated in Detroit and Compton and New Orleans and Florida, Miami, and all over. So we want to like reach out to Munson Steed and talk to him about being part of the Black Media Summit.
Beautiful.
2010 in June. Location is TBA, to be announced. We do have some locations planned. We just don't want to get it out of the air until we have everything, finalized. Also, the great thing about the Black Media Summit is the opportunity to not just network, but, do some power networking.
Yes.
With other organizations.
Yes.
In media.
Connecting.
We have brothers and sisters. But to set forth a declaration that we work together to plant a seed to teach, train, and groom the next generation.
Beautiful thing.
Of media moguls, writers, journalists.
Yes.
Reporters.
Yes.
And radio show hosts and TV personalities to set forth and deliver the message that can change and broaden and strengthen the perception of how we are perceived.
Yes.
Beautiful thing.
Exactly.
You can't get any
exactly.
better than that.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't get any better than that.
So I talked to, last night, I talked to a sister by the name of Carolyn Butt. She's the publisher and CEO of African Voices. So we were up at Set of Pawnees last night, and she was pretty excited about, like, the Black Media Summit. And I shared with her the blueprints of, like, how things are going to go, and she gave some great advice. And that's what it's all about,
Connecting.
Yeah, this is what it's all about.
Connecting, channeling in. One goal, one purpose.
It's It's a lot of good work happening in Black media. You know, oftentimes we are bombarded with BET.
Yes.
And we know.
And
BET,
MTV.
Yeah. We have TV One. Is that Deborah Lee? TV One.
Yes.
And we really need to understand that we are doing this on so many levels, on the grassroots level, like where we are. And we're going to be doing dynamic and big things. We just need time to get ourselves groomed and connected, as you say, brother.
Yes.
But the big dogs, if we take the time to get our blueprint and let people know our mission and let them know we're serious about what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
we care about our community,
mm-hmm.
we care about progress,
mm-hmm.
we care about reaching back
right.
yes.
and passing the baton.
Yes.
We care about honing skills and building institutions. Once they see that we're about that and, we're
everything
sitting.
Everything else is a go.
It's a go.
Everything else is a go.
So in 2010, we're going to get four horses. We're going to be on the corner of Lenox and 125th Street, and each person will have a horse going
in
south,
each direction,
north,
yes.
east and west.
Compass. Yes.
And we're on our way. We're just going to spread the news.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So look out for Black Media Summit coming in 2010. As Nizer mentioned, that's being worked on now. We'll be talking more about that as we move along. Just to let you guys know, some guests we have lined up. Interestingly, we talked about the Circle of Four with Percy Sutton.
Yes.
Vince Morgan, who's running for Congress, he's due to be on the show next week, next Thursday. Give his office a call and make sure that he's on deck for that. That's going to be a big interview for us because he's running against a kingmaker. So imagine us starting off doing our thing, and now we're talking to someone who's going up. He's actually like us. He's starting off. He wants to run big dogs. So We'll have Vince Morgan running for Congress. He'll be on the show next week with us, Kami. So you excited about that, talking to somebody that's trying to do big things?
Always talking to somebody that's trying to be do big things is exciting.
Right on.
Like all of our guests, basically.
Yes, yes.
They're doing big things. They're just starting on small scales, but they're expanding fast.
That's what it is.
And that's the same way we rolling.
Yes. There's an old adage that says every journey was taken with one step.
Yes.
I'm probably, you know, butchering it.
One step leads to the next step. You got to take this first step because that's the only way you're going to get where you're going.
There it is. There it is. And just to share something with you guys, had some great Chinese food.
From where?
You know, you get. Oh, okay. So my favorite Chinese restaurant is in Brooklyn. It's a place called Kum Kao.
Okay.
It's on Myrtle Avenue in Washington. Best Chinese food outside of Chinatown. So you got to get there. But I didn't get this fortune cookie there. I got it from another spot, local, our hood spot.
Okay.
But it said, success is in the cans, not the cannots.
Wow.
Success
so
is in the cans.
You got to be able to do it.
And not the cannots. So we always have to remember that at Harlem Talk Radio. We can do this.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
are
yeah.
doing
I like
this.
That. I like that.
Yes,
okay.
It's in progress.
So I think, speaking about tonight, right, New Year's Eve, I really think when I leave you guys tonight, I'm going to go home, call a friend who lives in my building, my home girl.
Yeah.
Maybe just, you know, kick it, watch a little TV. You know, just talk girl talk, you know, nothing major. And then when it hits like 11:30, head back home and just chill in the crib and bring it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something easy.
I hear you. I think I did that last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the streets, man, I was
yeah.
downtown earlier, just to let you guys know, I was downtown maybe about 5, 6 o'clock this evening. They're already closing off streets. You know that.
No, they started that at 2 o'clock.
They started at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Shutting them down, getting all the cars out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big
yeah.
thing. You know what this is.
Oh, man.
Times Square event.
Yes. Yes. So with the pedestrian plaza we spoke of earlier in Times Square and Herald Square, people are going to be herded in like
yes.
mad.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the only thing about Times Square I don't
yeah.
like. It's too many people.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too many people.
So, Harlem Roots and Beyond, we look forward to hearing from you. Let us know, you know, what you think about what we're doing. Because, you know, when we sit and put the shows together and we come up with the news items, sometimes, you know, we look at what's hot in the news and what's, you know, what's plastered on news
with media
day in and day out.
Pumping into us.
Right, right. What's exciting and sexy news stories, we call it sexy. But, you know, maybe there are stories that are on page 10 that we need to be talking about, that we overlooked and that you think is important. We want to know what the people think is important. This is not about us. It's about you, family. So reach out to us. By email, it's lygia.p@harlemtalkradio.com. That's lygia.p@harlemtalkradio.com. Check out more of what we're doing. Please check out our website. We're at harlemtalkradio.com. Wonderful content up. We have the iconic Gil Noble is up on our page. We have some great video on him. We have to give a shout-out to the sister from Human Books, the owner, Ms. Marva.
Marva Allen.
She's on giving an interview with us. And we should have up, Nigel and I covered an event like 2 Saturdays ago at the Harlem Children's Zone, the Some Way Foundation. We should have some footage up about that. They're doing great charitable work for children of mothers with AIDS. So there's a lot going on our website. Check us out. And before we close out the show, I just want to have Kami give a special thanks. I gave him shout-outs at the beginning of the show. I want you to round out the show with our thanks to, you know, who showed us love.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
year.
Special thanks to all guests who appeared on our show, all guests who called in, all guests who just listened every week, all those who just came this week, last week. Tell your friends, you know, exploit us because we need to get out there. And furthermore, May it be a happy and a prosperous new year to all our listeners and everyone else. And be safe and very careful, especially in these New York City streets.
Yes, yes. So again, Harlem Roots and Beyond, we want to thank you for welcoming us. And, you know, we are doing the work necessary to move our community forward. This is about progress.
Progress is all it's about. It ain't about no getting in the middle of the street fighting the war. And it's about progress.
You know, step by step.
Step by step.
You know, we'll make this happen along with you. So let us know. Okay, so just got the finger from Nizer. That's our inside joke when it's time to wrap the show. Again, HarlemTalkRadio.com, doing big things. My name is Lygia Pass, here with you.
All right, this is Kamikaze. Good night to Harlem and the world.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All
right.
2010, baby. Peace.
Peace.
Be sure to check out Diva Talk on HarlemTalkRadio.com at 7 o'clock. We talk about everything, fashion, music, men, what's in, what's out. Check us out, 7 o'clock, HarlemTalkRadio.com. For all you baby boomers and loved ones, tune in to Quinlan Care Talk for health, finance, and more at HarlemTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 6 o'clock.
Welcome to Mom Madness on Harlem Talk Radio. I am your host, Simone Perry. Thank you for joining us today. Last week, we completed our Domestic Violence Awareness Month series. We had so many wonderful organizations that participated in the series, and I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, actually, we're going to revisit that topic again in December, especially since, you know, December is the time of year where people are looking forward to preparing for the new year, and they always want to make a fresh start. So actually in December, we're going to have renowned author Patricia Evans, who has a wonderful website called verbalabuse.com, and she's graciously agreed to be a guest on Mom Madness in the month of December. But, you know, this month, we're going to talk about charitable giving. You know, believe it or not, the holidays are just around the corner, and many people are without jobs. And there's, you know, as you know, a lot of people even without homes. And they're forced to rely on various charities to even get by. So rather than focus on the hottest toys and the best gifts for 2009, I want to focus on how we can give back and possibly help others. And today I'm so pleased because we're going to be joined by two exceptional organizations, the Association to Benefit Children and New York Cares. Now, before we get into today's discussion, I want to let our listeners know that on Monday we aired a special program entitled Meet the Mayoral Candidate. And our program director, Nizer Saunders, along with Bob Quinlan of Quinlan Care Talks and guest host Terrence White, had the opportunity to ask Comptroller Bill Thompson some really tough questions. And, of course, that was on the eve of the election. And it was a really proud moment for our station. And so, Nizer, you know, what were your thoughts on the interview and, of course, the outcome of the election?
Well, good afternoon. I thought the interview went extremely well. Bill Thompson appeared to be a person in tune and also approachable, and meaning that, like, there's no big resistance or wall up to talk to him, to get to him. We actually called his press secretary. He said, let me look at his schedule. I think he should be able to connect with you guys, and it just happened. And that's the type of politician we need in office, someone who is easily and readily accessible to the public. So in terms of the interview, you know, we asked them questions on education, asked them questions on how can he help small businesses with employee health benefit packages, which is very important, especially in this unstable economy, even though we supposedly are on a upward progression to do better as the analysts have forecast.
Right.
We take that with a grain of salt because when you're in the middle of, you know, a tsunami or getting out of one, a financial tsunami, it's still hard to tell whether you're doing, the economy is doing good or bad.
Right.
But nonetheless, he was very open and candid about why he should have been the mayor. And just want to wrap it up real quick by saying that although he did not win the election, he should feel extremely proud that he came in close. He worked very hard and campaigned extremely well on his, you know, running for mayor. And I just want to say thanks, and also that we too played a hand in making sure that he did get high percentages votes out there when he came on Harlem Talk Radio to reach those who need to be informed on what's happening in the Harlem community.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to chime in really quick up on that topic and say, first of all, you guys did a wonderful job with the interview and talking to Comptroller Thompson. But not only that, but it was amazing to see that it wasn't the landslide victory that people thought it was going to be. I believe it. He lost by only 14,000 votes, which, you know, even though he didn't win, it still was, you know, very much neck and neck and not the, you know, runaway victory that everyone thought it was going to be. But as I was saying, we are talking about charitable giving this month on Harlem Talk Radio. And our first guest for today is Gretchen Buckenhoff. Gretchen is the executive director of the Association to Benefit Children. The Association to Benefit Children seeks to bring hope to disadvantaged children by offering services that will put them on the path to success. Gretchen, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Tell us a little bit more about the Association.